All righty. How many of you are glad to be here today? Is anybody got anything they want to brag on? Want to brag on the Lord a little bit? Anybody else? Anybody else?
Thank
you for his mercy and watching out for us. He's answered some prayers for me lately. All righty. Anybody else? Amen. That's right, because each and every one of us could be somewhere else. We could be laid up in the hospital or somewhere else. But anybody else? Amen. That right there is a blessing in itself. Okay. Anybody else? Amen. Well, I want to thank the Lord for that he was looking for me and he found me. And he loved me. And when I want the lovable type, and the Holy Spirit introduced me to Jesus, and when he introduced me to him, I did not have but one way to go, and that was either I had to go with Jesus or continue going on the way that I was going, and that would have been in hell, to hell, because you know, it's number two places. That's heaven and hell. And God created heaven and earth. But he did, you know, and well, he did create hell too, but he didn't create hell for no one. He didn't want no one to fall. He didn't want Lucifer to fall and his angels, but they did. And they thought that they could do more than God could do and do it better than God. But you know something, it's nothing I can do any better than what I can do on my own. And I have to depend on the Lord each and every day. I have to depend on him for the air that I breathe. I have to depend on the strength that he gives me each and every day to where I can still walk a little. It may not be as strong as it was at one time, but I still thank him for the way he has touched me in a way. And most of all, I do thank him for this church. I thank him for what he has taught me here and what you've taught me. You really don't know it, and you may not know it. I may not have said anything about it, but you have taught me more about faith than anything else. And we have to trust God. Y'all taught me all of that, which I knew I had to trust God, and I knew I had to have a faith. But my faith, I had a little faith, but it wasn't as strong as it is now. And I do thank the Lord for my wife. Thank you for my daughter. That both of them are saved and both of them are in church. You know, that right there is a blessing in itself, a joy. But, all righty. Well, if nobody else, turn to the book of Psalms 126. Psalms 126. Stop with six verses here. And we're going to see some things here in all these six verses here that, well, we can really thank the Lord for. But if I was going to title this message today, it would be the promises that the Lord has given each and every one of his children, his child. Now we know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We know that Jesus Christ is the child of God. But not only that, if you're saved by the grace of God, we're also God the Father's child. And he wants to correct us and some things that we do. And when he does, it's not like that he's trying to wear us down or get us to the point that we just get upset and mad like majority of the people do today when somebody rebukes them or something. They'll get upset and they'll get mad. But the Lord's not that way. He don't want us to get mad, and he don't rebuke us in that way. But he does rebuke us, and he does bring chastisement to us, and the reason for that is because of his correction. And as he corrects us as his children, we have so many promises all the way through this Bible. Now, I know that some preachers, you don't never hear them that much preach on any Old Testament. Well, to me, you have to preach it all. Because without the law, you cannot have grace. That's what we're living under, grace today. But the law was first. If we didn't have a law, we wouldn't have grace today. Matter of fact, if we didn't have the law, we wouldn't even be here today. If we didn't have the law, we would not even have the promises that the Lord Jesus and God the Father has promised us. But what grace comes in at, grace comes in at what Jesus Christ done on Calvary. He took upon his shoulder and upon his body that day, he took all the sin that I had created, that I was going to create, and that I'm going to still end up creating. He took all those sins and he placed them upon his shoulder. That's the reason he was weighted down and going up that hill. And they had to help him took the cross up. But he did not just, when they helped him tote it, he did not get out from under that cross. He still had that cross on his back. And that cross represented me and you, the sins that we would commit. And I sure am glad that he gave us a choice. He gave us a free will to accept him or reject him. I think it's so many people like that today, they don't realize what they're doing. They're rejecting the Lord Jesus. And you know what the scripture says about where the Holy Spirit of God will not always strive with man, will not always touch man's heart to where they can turn their life around. You said, well, you mean God's not going to allow the Holy Spirit to always continue to work on that individual's heart? No. If he continues on in sin and the Holy Spirit's spoken to him and the Holy Spirit has got a hold to him and he knows exactly what he needs to do, and how does he know? How do I know that he knows what to do? Because the Holy Spirit of God has given it to him. And when they give it to him, then they're going to say, well, not right now. Not this week. I'm too young now. I need to sow my oats. I got a little living to do. I got some things that I want to do that I ain't never done before, and I've been looking forward in doing them. Well, big deal. What they need to realize is, if they just trust in Jesus Christ, they don't have to change anything, which they can't. I couldn't change the way I was living because I did not have the strength. I did not have the willpower to do that. But God the Father, he had the strength and he had the willpower to turn my life around. And when he did, he gave me something else better to do. Up until that point, it had been probably almost 20 years since I've darkened the door in a church until I got married. I didn't think about going to church. I didn't want to go to church. Why? Because they won't doing the things that I love doing. But boy, when the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, my life turned completely around. You don't have to believe me or not. You can ask my wife. Because I wasn't even thinking about church. But now that's all I do think about is church. That's all I want to do. I want to be in church. I want to do what God has saved me to do. And God saved me to fulfill his promises in the Word of God, to where I can reap what he has allowed me to where I can sow. He can allow me to reap upon it. The promises is always through this Bible. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Promises always through there. And yeah, and you have preachers out here, and you have people out here. And I even had a missionary tell me that at one time the church wasn't supporting him, was supporting his daddy years ago. But his son was telling me, he says, did you realize that the King James Bible has lies in it? And I said, do what? He said, yeah. He says, it's full of lies. I said, no, sir, it's not. I believe in the book. I believe the first word in the book, all the way to the last word in the book. I even believe the word that's on the front of the book and on the rim of the book. I believe the cover, and I believe everything in between. It's not a lie there. Because if it was a lie, it would not even exist. Because God don't lie. God don't lie. And he didn't come out, he come out with all this other junk and everything about the NIV. And he asked me, and the reason I know what he was believing in, because he asked me about coming to the church. I was sitting at his work. And when he said that, I asked him, I says, what kind of Bible do you use? He said, what kind of Bible do you prefer to me to preach from? And I got to thinking about that. I says, that I prefer. That right there is the first mistake you made. It's not what I prefer. It's what God the Father that is in heaven, what he prefers. And he prefers the truth. The truth is the King James Bible. And I says, and you don't have to come back to me and tell me that it's not the original manuscript. I know that. I'm not that dumb and I'm not that stupid. And I know it's not the original manuscript. But I'll tell you one thing. The King James Version right here that I hold, that I preach from, is the closest thing to the original transcript. I mean, because in Hebrew, they spell, they'll have another letter in a word. That where we may put an O there, but they ain't going to put an E there or something. I don't have time for that. I don't have time for them people like that. Because it's nothing I can say. It's nothing I can tell them that's going to change their mind. Because what it is, see, they want me to argue with them. And you can't argue over God's word. What is it I'm going to argue with? The only thing I can argue with it about is, well, praise the Lord, you may be have a NIV or a SMO or something like that. But I have the old King James Version. That's what I'm going to stick with. That's what them three individuals said. That's what they read from the word right here when the night that I got saved. And if it was good enough to save me, it's good enough to take me to heaven. The promise of Christian workers. Psalms 126, verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivities of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongues with singing. Then said they among the heathens, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the stream in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, the word sheaves right there is speaking of me and you. Because we are the ones that he's going to welcome us home. And he's the one, the Holy of God the Father, God the Son, they're the ones that is going to allow me to enter in. God the Father will, first of all, the Holy Spirit, he's going to be the one that going to be with me, going to be with you, going to be with each and every Christian that is saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit is going to welcome us home when we get to probably the third heavens there, where Jesus is at. See, we're not going to enter in where Jesus is going to be on the other side of the gate. He's going to be on the outside the gate. He's going to be welcoming us home. He's going to be welcoming us. He's going to be welcoming me into the heaven of heavens. And he's going to introduce me to my home, to my place, the way I'm going to be able to lay my head down at night. He's going to take me to that place. And then after that, then I'm going to have to go. And I'm going to have to bow before him. Yes, there's going to be a whole lot of weeping right there. It's going to be a whole lot of weeping. What's the weeping going to be over? The weeping is going to be over the things, about the things that God and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit spoke to me about going visiting somebody or just calling somebody and talking to them. That's where the weeping is going to come in at, because see, the Father, he knows all about it. He knows exactly the day, the date, the time, and the people's address, and the people's name, to where I would not go to. Yeah. Guess what? I can't come up with no excuse. Can't come up with no excuse. When you're serving God, there is no excuse. There's no excuse in doing anything when we're serving God. We have to serve God his way, and that's it. But I tell you, I know he didn't promise me a bed of roses. And he didn't promise me that everything was going to be great. He didn't promise me that my health is going to be wonderful and great all the way through it. He did not promise me all that. The only thing he promised me is that he would be there with me. He would be there when I go through it. And he would be there at the other end when I come through it. When I come through it and when I go through it, then I can be a better individual, a better Christian. The Christian worker is one that goes out. They don't leave church and go home, stay at home until the next service time. No, the Christian worker, yeah, they may go home and they may change clothes. But they will not stay at home all week until the next service without going out and working for the Lord, without doing something that God has asked them to do. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, we read the great commission that is binding upon every Christian. I tell you, it's good to know him. It's good to be a worker for him. And I will promise you, on the authority of God's word, this book I'm holding, King James, and I'll promise you also with the authority of the book that he has in heaven, that he has set aside to approach us with one day. Because see, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to carry my Bible in with me. I'm not going to walk in a gate with my Bible under my arm and stand before him and he asked me this and that. And then I told him, well, Lord, that ain't exactly what the way I read it and everything. He said, well, hey, maybe you ought to know. Mine reads it the way I wanted it to read. Mine reads the way that I give it to the men that pin down the Word of God. Did you realize the average Christian I hear do not realize that they're going to have to give an account for every word that they've said? Everything that is coming from thy mouth as a Christian, they're going to have to answer for it. They're going to have to give the Lord Jesus, because he's going to ask you, why did you do that? Well, you know, I went to work today. Man, I was so tired when I got home. I couldn't go another hour. And I had to stay home and rest. It's not going to get it done. What does he say? I'll give you rest. He will give us rest. He will give us strength and joy. I was talking to somebody this week. And I asked him, I said something to him. I says, I wish you would come out to the church. Just give us a try, is all I'm asking. Just give us a try. If you come and you don't like it, you don't like my style of preaching, or you don't like anything about the church at all, you don't have to come back. You don't have to come back. Because God's not going to make you come back. And God's not going to make me to make you come back. But see, you have a choice. You either have a choice to come on a day of rest. And she said, well, I work 6 days a week. And I'm so tired, so wore out. Time Saturday afternoon gets here. I can't have time to go out. And I asked him this. I said, since you work 6 days a week, you don't work on Sunday. I said, how many times have you been so tired that you come up with an excuse in not going to church when somebody invited you or when the Lord invited you? How many times did you come up with an excuse that you was tired? But yet Sunday morning, mid-morning, you get in your automobile and go to Walmart. Go to Target. How many times have you done that? Well, I don't know. Before we ended the conversation, they ended up telling me that they had to go to Sam's and pick up some stuff at Sam's tomorrow, which was going to be on a Sunday. I said, did you realize that if God wanted to, God could make all the food that you pick up on Sunday? He can spoil it to where you eat it, you'll get sick. He can do that. But we don't think he will. But we come up with all excuses you want to. If you say you're a Christian and you want to come up with an excuse not to be in God's house on Sunday and not to be in God's house when the door is open, unless you're working or in a hospital or at the funeral home, should not hinder you from coming. If anything, you should be glad. You should be so happy and filled with joy to where you can come back to church where the Lord Jesus introduced you to. And they don't realize it. If they're saved, they are part of the church. But where's the church at today? A whole lot of them, we just have a building. We don't have no church anymore. Why? Because they have on the right hand side or the left side of the church. In front, they got a wooden board up there. The first thing, read attendance. Attendance. How many do we average on attendance? 123. How many do we get today?
'92.
Oh, man. '92. '23. That's 100. I mean, that is 20. That's almost 40 out. What are we going to do? We don't have all the people here. We can't go and plan nothing. We can't go out here and plan a retreat. We can't go out here and plan something for the whole church to where the whole church can be involved in it. Why can't you? Why can't we? We can. We can still have things. We can still have things to do for the Lord. And it may not be exactly what somebody else would do, but if the Lord speaks to us about doing it that way, then we can do it that way. And we won't be condemned by it. But when we are condemned, we're condemned by who? Man. We're condemned by man. Another thing here that we see in God's Word and all through God's Word is that the Christian worker within them, God the Father has released something, a promise upon them. And it wasn't a promise that we asked him for. And it wasn't a promise that we just prayed for. It was a promise from him, from God the Father. What was that promise for the Christian worker? That promise was that we, as Christians, we can have a passion. We can have a love for souls. We can have love for that individual that's not looking too good for them tomorrow. They don't have no hope. They're always in despair. They're always in some kind of trouble. You know, if I didn't have a thing, if I didn't have a decent car to drive, if I didn't even have my home to live in, if I had to go live in a shack, or I had to go and maybe build something just for me and my wife and my daughter to be able to go and live under a bridge, I still would not have anything to complain about because of God. God is not going to forget his children. And we have that a testimony of Israel. God has never forgot about Israel. God said in his word that Israel, the people there, was his chosen people. And today you can hear all about it, where they're coming from all over the world back to Israel. And Israel, they did not even have room enough for, they did not have room enough for them to where they could just come and sleeping sleep in the streets. So the prime minister over there, he took it upon himself and he got it passed, and he got the United States. The United States agreed with him. And the United States backed him on that. And that's the reason they building all of the housing over there, all the apartments there, because of the flood of the people coming back to the home. Which maybe some of y'all knew this about the Jewish people. I didn't for a long time there. And after I got saved, it was about 2 or 3 years later, I come to find out when a Jewish individual, when he passes away, or they may have the burial hill or whatever, but that's not it. That place of that lot does not represent them. You know what represents them?
As that little tree. To Jerusalem, wherever the family is from there. You think the President of the United States of America have armed guards around his automobile when he travels? Or when he's in flight and he has all the jets and all the aircraft they can muster up to protect the President? Because he's the President of the United States. You think he's got protection? That little tree that they send over there has more protection than any other president or anybody else has ever had. Why? Because that tree represents that tree represents something. It represented somebody. And it was going back to the home place. You know,
we can learn a whole lot from the Jewish people. And you know, you can tell the ones that does not believe that the Messiah has come the first time. Because they're looking for him to come for the first time. But they're the ones going to be left out in the cold. But you do have some Jewish people that are saved. And you know what they'll say to you? They say, yes, I'm a devout Jew. I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. And I believe in the Holy Spirit. For them to believe in them three, they've got to have the blood of Jesus on the life. And why do they trust Jesus? Why did they trust Jesus?
Because Jesus was a full-blooded Jew. He had the Jewish blood running through his body. And what does it say in the Bible? He cleanses us, what? With his blood. So that tells me that what he does, he went through my arteries, he went through every part of my body where my blood was there, and he took it and he cleaned it out. He cleaned it out, he scrubbed it out to where it would be no trace of my own blood that I was birthed into this world with. Why? Because I'm born again. And once you're born again, what? What does the Bible say? When you're born again, what? By blood, by water. I have the Jewish blood running through my veins today. And they can argue with me all they want to. The people can. They say, oh, you crazy, they don't. I say, then you won't have to prove it to me. They won't have to prove it. Because see, his blood can never get contaminated. But the blood that we are birthed with can get contaminated. With all the sin inside of you.
The Christian worker has a great assurance. What is that great assurance? The great assurance that we have. As a child of God, we have the assurance that God the Father will never leave us, will never forsake us. He is always there. We may not think so, but he's there. We may not even hear his voice sometimes. And the reason we don't hear the voice is because we are talking too much ourselves. We're too loud to where we can't hear that small, still voice. That's what the Word of God says. That we don't hear that small, still voice. And when we don't hear that small, still voice, what happens? We lose out. We lose out. We lose out because the Lord's trying to get in touch with us. The Lord's trying to tell me what he wants me to do. But no, I'm so busy about talking about something that I shouldn't even think about. You know, God loves us. How many of you are here that has grandchildren? Probably all of you do. But I'm going to ask you this. Do you love your grandchild? Do you? Do you love your daughter, your son? Do you love her husband? Do you love his wife? Do you love them? Do you love them because they're part of your family? Or do you just love them because they're human beings? Do you love them? How can we expect to go out here and talk to somebody else that we know nothing about. How can we go out there and talk to them about the Lord that we serve? But yet, we can't come up with enough strength, and we can't ask God to help us to go meet with our family, to go meet with your daughter, go meet with your son, go meet with your son-in-law, go meet with your daughter-in-law, go meet with your grandchild. Why don't we go meet them? We think because we have got to pick out certain verses in the Bible and we got to memorize them. Word by word, we got to memorize them to where we can show the people that, hey,
nowhere in God's word that I have found, nowhere. And if it's in there, somebody's going to have to show it to me. Where it says that I must memorize a number of verses, that I must memorize them to the point that I can share them with somebody else when I don't have my Bible with me. I can't find it. If it's in there, somebody's going to have to show me where it's at. If you show me where it's at and I read it, and if that's what it says, I'll apologize to you and I'll say, you're right. I was wrong. You're right. But it says more in the Bible, in the Word of God, about our testimony to the Christian than it does in trying to just go and speak to people. No, he wants us to give the people and let the people see our testimony that we have in him and him alone. And we all got a testimony. If you're saved by the grace of God, we all got a testimony. We can start with one thing and stop with that. You can thank God that I'm saved and he saved my soul, and you can stop with that. That right there is the greatest testimony that there is. Matter of fact, that's the greatest miracle that there is. Why?
Because he said it. Because he said it. The Christian worker will know the joy of your harvest. We will know. We will know the joy behind that harvest that we have just went out and sowed the seed. And the harvest had come forth when they accepted Jesus. And we can brag on that. We can't brag on what we done. I can't brag on that I carried the seed to them. I can't brag on them, on myself about that I'm the one that went and took the word of God to them. No. Only one I can brag on is God.
He's the only one I can pray for. Because he give me the knowledge to what to say. He give me the strength to be able to get my automobile and to go and visit them. He give me the willpower to do what he asked me to do. And I didn't have nothing involved. I didn't have nothing of myself around it at all. The only thing that I'd done was when I had surrendered my life to him and I asked him, Lord, this is your body. This right here is yours. I'm willing it over to you, and you do with it with what you want. And when he does, man, you can be so blessed. I tell you what, after I got saved, it wasn't that long after I got saved, and which I joined the church the next week, got baptized within that month. And I just went up to the pastor and I asked him, I said, is there anything I can help you do? Because see, he was gone just about all every weekend except for on Sunday, because he'd have to drive to Richmond on Friday because he was in the National Guards. And he retired as a, I don't know what it was. It was, his rank was way up there. I mean, into the colonels. I don't know if it was a 5-star colonel or what. But it was way up there. But he asked me one day, that week, asked me, says, would you go to the hospital and visit so-and-so? They're going to have surgery tomorrow. And I'm going to be up for the surgery. But I can't go no other time. Could you go up there for me? Or would you? I said, yeah. I said, but I don't know him. He said, you don't need to know him. You just tell him that you're coming out and you're visiting from Rush Yarbrough Baptist Church. And the pastor had asked me if I'd come up here with in his stead. And I said, yes. And I walked in there and I talked to them. Whatever they wanted to talk about, I talked to them. And I turned around, I was getting ready to go out. And the individual says, can you hold on a minute? Come back over here and I need to ask you something. That's when they opened the door. Because see, for Billy Scarce, the pastor, I'd been over to his house several different times and talking to him about the way and what I need to do. When I went back to speak to the individual and what they wanted with me again, they said this. And to this day, I don't take no claim for it. I give God the glory back then, and I still give him the glory for today. See, at one time, I couldn't speak to a number of people. If the people was the number of you, just you here, in my classroom, at school, and the teacher would ask me to stand up
and to read a paragraph or to read something, I'd sit down. She said, well, come on up, Donnie. And I sat down. And after the class, she'd come up, she'd ask me, said, well, why didn't you come on up? You could have done it. I said, no, ma'am, I could not have done it. I said, my tongue would have been so twisted. The words wouldn't have come out the right way because I was so nervous. And you know it because I'm nervous now. And I was. So naturally, hey, I failed at grade. But when I went back, it didn't get no better. I couldn't even, here it is, the individuals, the little small, the kids that was my age, the teenagers, that I went out and I talked to every day. And some I went riding with them. I went on Riverside Drive and rode with them from Duffy's to Kelly's restaurant, round about, go down and circle around, come on back. Go on up and circle around, come on back. I'd do that. I'd be with them every week. They'd be in my same class. And I couldn't even read in front of them. I couldn't read in front of them because I was so embarrassed. I was so scared I was going to make a mistake. Later on, maybe another year later, I quit school. Went to work. And then here it was, 1980, in August of that year, the Lord Jesus saved my soul. Then in March of 83, He started dealing with me about preaching. And I said, Lord, I says, now, I thank you for saving me, but I'm no preacher. It's not a verse in the Bible that I can quote. It's not a book in the Bible. I can take you to that book because I know exactly where it's at. I don't know where they are. But I know this, I am. Lord, I can't do it. I'm sorry. But then, he took another avenue to where I would have to do some things that other people seemed impossible to do, to where they could get more parts in the store. Well, see, God says, and His Word says, nothing is impossible with God. And it wasn't impossible with Him. He went on and done it. He went on and got me to do it His way, and I done it His way, which ended up being the way that the people wanted it. Gee, man, I'm going to get out of this one. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm going to get out of preaching. Because I ain't going to be able to think about it no more. I ain't going to be able to think. Hey, he's not going to burden me down with it no more. Because I'm going to be working too many hours. I'm going to be working too hard. Guess what? I thought of it more then than I ever have before. He wanted me to preach. I said, God.
I said, I want to tell you something that maybe you might not know. But when I was in high school, I quit in the 10th grade because I could not read a paragraph or oral report or anything to the class. So naturally they failed me. And I just got tired of it. Being to the point that I was going to end up losing another grade. I'm going to fall back, continue falling back. Which I was telling God, I said, God, I'm going to tell you something you may not know. Well, see, God knew that. Well, see, here I was a young Christian. I still learned it.
But praise be unto God. He himself, when he does something, in your life,
he does it well. And he does it with a purpose behind it. I don't know how many times I ain't told this story sometimes I've testified and I've told the story in different churches and around. And my wife has come up to me afterwards and she said, well, I'll tell you one thing. I wish he didn't give you the lung capacity you got. Because now, can't nobody even keep you shut now. Keep your mouth shut even right now. Because you want to talk all the time. When I'm talking about something that I love, I'll talk all day long. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father, we do thank you for your many, many promises that you do have here in the Word of God that is for your child of God. And Father, all these promises are still here. And Father, the promises are there for us. All we have to do is just act on it. We just have to act on it to receive that promise. But Father, sometimes we don't even want to act on it. We don't even want to act on it because we say we don't need your promise. But we do need God. We need all his promises. Father, help us, Lord Jesus, that as we go home, Father, that we can be the witness and we can be the one that has the testimony toward our children, toward our grandchildren. And Father, that the Holy Spirit can instill it within our soul and within our heart, Lord. They say, Mama, I want to go to church with you Sunday. It's just something about you that you've done or you said, and I don't know what it was, but I want to be there where you're at. Oh God, help us, Lord Jesus, that we may speak to our children, our immediate family, Lord. And then after we do that, then that will give us the encouragement to go and speak to other people and let them know that, yes, we love them and the Father also loves them. Help us, Lord, that we may live for thee
Father, that your word would go out and touch hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Dismissed.